Welcome back, 1244, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And on Wednesdays, about this time of day, I like to check in with Charlie Hurt. He writes the Washington Times nuclear option column. And today's is entitled, Obama Reveals His Obliviousness at Monticello. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. You know, only this president would stand on the grounds where Thomas Jefferson lived and proclaim, that's the good thing about being president, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was some sort of reach for something trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Or what. But first of all, it wasn't funny. I don't think anybody laughed. and anyway, kind of despot humor isn't like real big these days anyway. But the idea that he would say that when such a large contingent of the people that he serves believes that he is trampling on the Constitution, and they can make a very good argument for it when he talks about how all the ways he's going to go around Congress, and he has a pen and a phone and all that kind of stuff. It terrifies people. And the idea that he would make a joke like that, it's like Chris Christie making a joke about the Bridge Lane closing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not funny, and it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, you know, granted, I mean, he said it with a smile, but you know he actually thinks that way. I mean, we've seen far too much evidence to deny it. He really, you know, he thinks he can do whatever he wants to.
As my children like to say, you know, actions do speak louder than words.
Yeah.
And you know, so he kid all you want. But what is it? You know, the sound of a gas in Washington is when a politician actually says what they mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far, of course, it's not a gaffe to this media because they will do anything to protect the guy. But it is. He just joshing around. He actually said exactly what he thinks.
Yeah. You know, even funnier to me though was the fact that Obama and his socialist friend, President François Hollande, are about 180 degrees apart from where Jefferson stood politically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long way we have come back in the day when the Marquis de Lafayette and President Washington pulled off some of the most amazing battle victories in history to in order to found the very cradle of freedom and democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the founders even back then knew that, it was a risky gambit. And, whether people would actually be able to keep, their democracy or not was a real question that was up in the air. And, you know, while, you know, I, on good days, I like to think that we're sort of, you know, we've kept a hold of it. There are a lot of days when you look around and you just see, all kinds of evidence that we have fallen so far.
Yeah.
From the ideals that were set out for us.
Yeah. By the way, I loved your reference to the French president as a dirty little man in a short trench coat.
I just can't get over it. I mean, can you, and the pictures of him with his in the black motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
As he's skulking around between his girlfriends, and then my favorite is the media got so upset over there about the fact that he was cheating on his girlfriend,
yeah.
And then of course this is a guy who never married the woman that bore four of his children.
Yeah.
Then he gets caught cheating on his girlfriend, and there's this this outcry in the media, and I'm like. But if the guy, of course, if he had been married to her, the media wouldn't have cared. You know, that's just fine. He would have deserved. He would have been totally fine for him to cheat on his wife.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was his girlfriend, he was seen as a real. The media just destroyed him over that.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, judging by his background with the ladies, he and Bill Clinton would have gotten along great.
Yeah, they would have. But I got to say, for all of his flaws, Bill Clinton is a very amusing, entertaining guy who is a huge figure out on a stage talking to people. And again, I don't agree with much of what he believes,
yeah.
But he is a huge figure. This guy just—he's just dirty. He's a slimy little guy. I don't know how he got elected.
Well, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I think one of the reasons Obama likes hanging around him is that this is a guy with lower approval ratings than Obama. I think the latest polling information shows that he has less than 20% approval rating in France.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
I think you're exactly right. They're two peas in a pod. They couldn't.
Yeah.
And I also love how the press just they love. There's something about being French or saying French things that the press love. I mean, listening to all these reporters go on and on, and you made fun of them a minute ago about Hollande.
Yeah.
They whip out their best French accent for that.
I know it. It's great. So last night they got together and they ate the best food and they drank the nectar of the gods at the White House, and they showed America that they, too, are participants in the drive for income equality.
Yeah, with Michelle Obama with her $12,000 dress.
Yeah.
Wow.
$12,000.
Well, I don't think if you added up all the money I've ever spent on clothes my entire life, I still don't think that you would get $12,000. Granted, I don't look as nice as she does,
yeah.
and nobody would say that I was a fashion, on the forefront of fashion, but I mean, my goodness, $12,000?
Yeah.
I mean, a wedding dress costs what, like $1,000? I mean, of course, I don't know,
you haven't worn one in a while. Hey, I did see that the White House was asked how much this dinner cost, and they couldn't come up with an answer, but it's generally believed that it's somewhere between $200,000 and $500,000.
And, you know, I'll say this, Andy. That's a lot of money. I don't begrudge, the White House putting on something like this. For foreign dignitaries, and you know, it is a function of the presidency. But the idea that they would do that and don the $12,000 dress while at the same time hurting working class people by doing this ridiculous job-killing minimum wage hike,
yeah,
that they know just as well as everybody else will kill jobs.
Yep.
There's no debate about that. The fact that they would spend this kind of money on this kind of extravagance while hurting people and claiming to care about income inequality, it is really shocking. And I would argue it just shows that they have really reached the very bottom of the barrel in terms of their willingness to do anything to score, a political point or two.
Yeah. And just think, yesterday the House approved raising the debt limit so our kids and grandkids can pay for the aged beef, quail eggs, and caviar they had last night.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's the opposite of what the founders did. You know, the founders, they risked their lives, they risked their fortunes, they risked everything for future generations. And a lot of American generations after them did the same thing. They sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed for the next generation.
Yep.
And we have now reached a point in America, where you, the idea that if you even mention cutting spending or reining in the government, you're deemed a reckless lunatic. But we have arrived at this place in America today, where we have reversed everything. We are living now on the proceeds of all the sacrifices that subsequent generations will make. Our children and grandchildren will have to make, so we can live this life that we have now.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yep. All right, folks, if you haven't read it, please check it out. It's in today's Washington Times. Obama reveals his obliviousness at Monticello. It's by Charlie Hurt, Washington Times nuclear option columnist. Charlie, good to talk to you. We'll do it next week.
Thanks, Andy.
Take care. 12:53 at 12:60 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.